The word today is plead. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible Teacher Douglas Schrader. We can become concerned when someone we love is in danger or ill. There were times in the Old Testament when the people angered God so much that he punished them physically or put them to death. Once, Moses and Aaron had to run to God and plead for the community to save them. We can see the importance of interceding for someone else. Here to examine this urgent type of prayer is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Plead.
Today we have a very dramatic reading that we start from the book of Numbers, chapter 16. And this is an incident that took place in the Old Testament while the Israelites were in the wilderness, the wandering for 40 years. This is very intense, and it's a life and death situation. We are going to be talking about prayers that changed God's mind, and in this particular instance, we will see Moses and Aaron, who was the high priest, pleading with God, acting in desperation to try to keep God from destroying the entire community. This is very intense. So from Numbers 16, starting at verse 41, "The next day, the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. 'You have killed the Lord's people,' they said. But when the assembly gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron and turned toward the tent of meeting, suddenly the cloud covered it and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron went to the front of the tent of meeting, and the Lord said to Moses, 'Get away from this assembly so I can put an end to them at once.' And they fell face down. Then Moses said to Aaron, 'Take your censer and put incense in it, along with fire from the altar, and hurry to the assembly to make atonement for them. Wrath has come out from the Lord. The plague has started.' So Aaron did as Moses said, and he ran into the midst of the assembly. The plague had already started among the people, but Aaron offered the incense and made atonement for them. He stood between the living and the dead, and the plague stopped. But 14,700 people died from the plague, in addition to those who had died because of Korah. Then Aaron returned to Moses at the entrance to the tent of meeting, for the plague had stopped." This is not your typical Sunday school lesson, let me tell you that. This sounds horrible. In fact, it would have been one of the most scary moments in the entire Old Testament, as God had said, "I'm just going to put an end to the entire community." What's going on here? What did we just hear about? Well, actually, what you just heard was the very end of a series of struggles and hassles, grumbling, as it's described, which, frankly, the word in ancient Hebrew means not just to complain a little bit, like grumble, but means insurrection. It means rebellion against God. In fact, the reading you just heard was a culmination, a finale to a series of testing of God, disobedience to God over and over again by the Israelite community. And so God had several times already changed his mind because he'd had it with these people. Kind of reminds me of when you have to deal with somebody that's supposed to be repenting, somebody supposed to be cleaning up their act and changing their ways, but they keep doing it again and again, and your patience gets really worn thin. That's what you were hearing at this point in the book of Numbers in chapter 16. In fact, you could almost liken what was happening here with a community on lockdown, like the Lord was putting them in prison temporarily because they had continuously rebelled against him. Similar, if you had a creature like a dog or something that was ruining and destroying your household, would you just let them run free or would you discipline it? Well, God was disciplining the people because they were willfully resisting and rebelling against him. This complaint that they had was more than just dissatisfaction. It was actually at times discussing stoning Moses and Aaron, the leaders whom God has appointed. They had actually said to themselves, let's pick a new leader and let's go back to Egypt, totally disdaining how God had freed them miraculously from Egypt. You see, this is out and outright rebellion. And that's why the Lord is suppressing it. The people are trying to take over and riot, in a sense, against God. And the Lord just simply is not going to put up with that kind of behavior forever. This is a good warning to individuals who think that they can just go through life and defy God's will, who think they're just going to live wicked, pernicious, evil lives. God won't do anything about it. Look, I'm still fine. You better watch out, because the Lord only has so much patience. At some point, he calls forth his wrath, and you don't want it falling on you. You need to come to the Lord Jesus and repent of your sin. You don't want to be like these people in the wilderness that don't listen to the voice of God. Don't make that mistake. At the end of this life is a judgment. And you would like, I think, to be at the end of God's mercy rather than at the end of his wrath. Eternity's a long time to make the wrong choice. And I encourage you to come to the grace of God and the forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ. God, by the way, has a reputation in the Bible of mercy and grace. What you just heard was what is called God's alien act, his wrath, his judgment, his punishment. In theological terms, is called his alien act. He must punish to get people to repent at times. That's how wicked and evil and corrupt sinful humans are. If we didn't see punishment, if we didn't have the consequences of sin come upon us, we'd continue on in it and get worse and worse. God has to sometimes call forth his law in order to get us to repent. You know, there are skeptics and atheists who attempt to try to make this impression that this is all God is about, that the God of the Old Testament is nothing but this malevolent, nasty deity who just loves killing people. That's not true at all. Anybody who's familiar with the scriptures and doesn't want to try to intentionally tarnish the reputation of God knows that he's a God of mercy and forgiveness. He is a God of love at his core. In fact, that's why he called the Israelites in the first place. That's why he ended up not destroying them, is because Aaron and Moses said, please, Lord, don't let all the nations see you as this malevolent, nasty deity. God relented. He saved the people. The reason God saved the people was because he had promised to bring this world a savior. He had that plan for hundreds of years already before this event took place. God was not going to fail on his promise. At one point, he said to Moses, I could start up the whole new plan again with you, like he had with Abraham. Wow. The Lord is intent on bringing his salvation, but he's not going to let people stand in the way. He's not going to let sinful people destroy that. So we need to be realizing that God's wrath is real and it will fall on the wicked, which, by the way, Moses prayed a prayer that only the leaders be punished in this rebellion. God mercifully spared the lives of many people. Notice how it was intervention on the part of Moses and Aaron. It wasn't even a prayer. It was just full-out desperation, running. Aaron, as the high priest, running with the censer to make atonement. And God honored that. Notice that? God stopped. He relented. Is there someone in your life who is wicked, who is evil, corrupt, and you've been praying for them? Perhaps the Lord is sparing them so that they could turn and repent at some point. We're taught in the New Testament that God is patient. He is waiting for the wicked to repent. He desires the salvation of all people. That's why he sent us a Savior, Jesus Christ, not because he wishes to condemn the world, but because he wishes to save the world. God does not want to have to put people in hell. He would love to have you receive him and come to Jesus Christ to repent of your sin. I sure hope you take that invitation, and I hope you share that with your friends, your acquaintances, the people that you work with, your family members. Really, God is at his core love, or else he never would have sent Jesus and let humans put him on a tree to crucify him. The beautiful part of this is that Christ is victorious over sin and the grave. Christ brought the forgiveness of God to us. You know, there's an admonition in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 that tells all of us, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. You know, that's a reference back to this event in the Old Testament. And we're admonished not to let sin's deceitfulness, not to let wickedness turn us away from God. That will incur punishment and destruction. How much better if we repent of our sin? How much better if we humble ourselves and take the invitation to come to God? Boy, if you want to see the mercy and gentleness and the love of God, look no further than the person of Jesus Christ. He takes our sin and shows us a kindness and a warmth and a mercy from God you will find nowhere else. I hope that you will learn from the mistakes of the people in the Old Testament and turn from sin and not grumble and rebel against God, but instead turn to him. Let him enfold you with his love so that you will not incur wrath and judgment, but instead will see his love, kindness, tenderness shown to you in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.